This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Literally in the last 3 to 4 days, to be more accurate. I think it was the last 3 days, I got 2 calls, and both from different countries. And both of these calls were of the same nature. Right? They were pretty much saying the same thing. The first person, he called me, and we've been connected for quite a while. He's in a country in Europe, and the other person is also from somewhere within the extended European countries. Basically, he says, look, he's a young guy who has been trying to get married for a long time, but he can't. There's just a number of factors, right? I've discussed with him before, he just can't get married, finding the most suitable person while he's studying, can't get a house yet, so on and so forth, not religious enough, he can't find somebody religious enough, numerous things that just make it very difficult for him to currently get married. So he says, how can I remain then steadfast on my deen if that can't happen? So obviously within that there's a number of issues that he's raising as to what he's asking about. Clearly the discussion is not that I can't get married, so how do I get married? That wasn't the discussion, because we've had that discussion before. The point is, how does he remain steadfast in a state that he can't currently be married? Number two, another person calls me for the first time from somewhere else. He's originally from Pakistan, but is a PhD student somewhere else in Europe, and he says that the temptations are just too bad for me. While he may be fixed up, he can't bring his wife over. So initially I said, just get married there then, you know. But that was obviously not a practical solution that was going to happen. So he's just saying, how do I remain steadfast? And I'm saying, you're asking for a miracle. To both of these, basically my first response was that you're asking for a miracle. But that's to say that you're asking for a miracle is merely saying that there's no answer to it. And that's the wrong answer to give. So that was just to kind of make them think that, look, this is going to be difficult. But you have to really work hard to solve this situation. First and foremost, both of these people asking me the question tell us two things. Number one, it tells us that this is a massive frustration across the board for a lot of people, even for married people. While they may have an outlet to remove their sexual desire or to fulfill their sexual desire, the overstimulation of our society, where everything is sexualized, makes it very difficult, even for people who are married, for both men and women, by the way. This is not just a man thing. For a lot of women, this is a case. It may not be for some women, but it is for other women, and which is quite shocking when you first hear about that. You think this is a man problem with the increased testosterone. But there are problems in the over-sexualized culture that we live in for women as well. Maybe less than men, hopefully, but there is. So even for married people, it's a difficulty. So for unmarried people who have no recourse to anything, what do they do? So I said, it's like asking for a miracle. You don't want to do the solution. You don't want to find a solution. The Prophet ﷺ said something as simple as, if you see, he was talking from a man's perspective, that if you see a man, if a man sees a woman that kind of attracts him and he gives him an urge, a sexual urge, then come home and fulfill your sexual urge with your wife, for she has what she has. That was the whole idea, that once your sexual urge has been fulfilled, then your sexual drive would have calmed down. But when you don't have a wife, then it makes it even more difficult. Now the Sahaba, of course, you don't hear, within the Sahaba, there were very few cases of zina that you hear about. And of course, you know, they used to get married multiple times. So they had many outlets in that sense and so on. Their situation was a bit different to ours. That's not a norm for us. So basically the responses that I gave, and then I came back, I then in order to speak about it more, I said, what do other people suggest about controlling sexual desire? So we find that there's a number of steps. First and foremost, the thing which will drive sexual desire, a lot of people think, in fact, one of the brothers just told me that I've done so much istighfar. Every time I do istighfar, when I feel really guilty, I do istighfar, I seek forgiveness. And then after that, within a short time, I feel very good for a while, and then after that, it breaks again. So I said, yes, exactly. You're putting the AC on, you're having a wash. Let's just say that you're having a really nice ghusl, and then you're going back in the dirt. So you're going to get dirty again. Don't think that just one istighfar is going to be sufficient for you to then remain pure and chaste afterwards, and for these desires to go. There's a number of places where these desires come from, and that's what the problem is. So it needs a very holistic look. In fact, in my research that I was doing online to try to find ways of controlling sexual desire, aside from one place that talked about the medical condition of nymphomania and, you know, over sexual desire, an overdrive in sexual drive, in sexuality, based on, they said that it could be a bipolar order or some other disease of that nature, some other problem of that nature. Everywhere else was telling you how to increase your sexual desire. Every other article I read was that these are the foods that dampen your sexual desire, so cut down on them and do this instead. Don't take too much marijuana, you know, do this instead. It was the opposite way, to increase the sexual desire, as though people don't have enough. It's really weird. It just tells you the trend of the society. And along with that, if you see what's happening right now with this Harry Weinstein problem, and everybody's coming out, not just him, but so many others, and it's all coming out because now people have found enough courage to speak out. And it's just really sad, may Allah protect us, but it's just really sad how where these kind of accusations are flying, not just against non-Muslims, but against Muslims as well. So clearly that's a very sexualized industry. The same person who's been there accused, he's been in the movie business for decades, producing movies of that nature, where everybody's expected to act in a particular way. I mean, the same people who are then accusing him are still coming on, even when they're coming to voice their accusation, to tell their stories, to speak about their sexual harassment, which is really bad, of course, you know, regardless of what the circumstance was, it's just bad anyway. They're coming still dressed in a very unhelpful way. So when they come for something like that, they still don't get it, that there is still, the problem is on everybody's part, not just from one side. Yeah, maybe it's more from one side than another side. I don't want to blame the victim, but that can't be an excuse either for, you know, not making them culpable as well, or not making them guilty as well for something, not making them the reason sometimes. The industry has been made taken to such a sexualized level that even while you talk about sexual harassment, you have to dress in a particular way because you can't be seen dressed in any other modest way, for example. Right? But that's not our topic. Let's just get back to our topic. How do we deal with this situation? Where if you're going to school, if you're going to college, if you're going to work, or you're just going outside, you know, about your normal everyday business, you can't stay at home. In fact, even people who stay at home, they're finding difficulty because of the access to pornography and everything else that you see, even normal movies, right? So what do you do in that situation? And as I said, you can't just do istighfar. Istighfar is extremely helpful. It's going to help, inshallah, if you do a sincere istighfar to remove the previous sins. But then tomorrow, the problem is still going to be facing us. Some people, of course, marriage helps a great degree. But again, this becomes then an addiction and a habit. Essentially, at the core of it, aside from all of the tempting factors and all the attraction out there, it's lowness of iman. That's really what it comes down to. So spiritually speaking, it's a low iman. That's what it is, low faith. Because that is the battery that keeps us. I'll give you an example. If you have you seen these repellents that they have, battery-powered repellents? If you're ever in a tropical climate, you have a battery-powered mosquito repellent. Now, that's only going to last as long as your battery lasts. Once your battery is gone, then the mosquitoes are going to come. Or likewise, you put a repellent on you, you know, you got the spray, the DEET spray as they call it, right? And you spray it on you, but it lasts for several hours. And then after that, you start feeding your mosquito bites and you know that this has become ineffective. And likewise, essentially what we're doing is that Iman is the battery. Iman is the repellent. It's creating the immunity. That's why it's the same thing if you take it differently. It's also like when the cold season comes, then you want to start taking extra vitamin C and echinacea oil and seeds or whatever it is that, you know, pills and tablets and things of that nature. The whole point of it is to keep your immune system strong. If your immune system is strong, then you're not going to be affected. You're not going to be prone to a cold as easily as somebody else who has a low immune system. So it's about creating immunity. It's about creating a sense of protection, removing the vulnerability, right? To get a repellent. That is what's the most important thing at the end of the day. How do you do that? Well, of course, a regimen of dhikr helps to keep a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alive. When you do your subhanallah, alhamdulillah, when you recite your Quran and so on. That helps to keep your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alive. Have you not noticed that when you've done a very intense religious act, a spiritual act, for example, Hajj or Umrah, or I'tikaf, or been to a very, very uplifting Islamic program, right? That's really, it helps, that's what we've just done is that we've just developed a level of immunity. We've just recharged our battery. We've just basically got more power. And thus, you don't even feel like looking. It's much easier. No longer, I mean, if I say, no longer are your eyes sticky anymore. What I mean by sticky eyes is that when you see something that's attractive, you're going to notice it. But do your eyes then just stick? Are they just trained to stick? Or can you easily move them away? So I would say the solution to sticky eyes is to have a fear of Allah in your heart. To have the taqwa, the level that, look, I don't want to do this. I don't need to do this. To psychologically, mentally, intellectually convince yourself that this is bad for me. I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm not getting anything out of it. Allah says, you know, insan is da'if. Khuliqa al-insanu da'ifa. As one of the Mufassirin said that this actually means that a man sees women who look nice to him, but he knows he's never going to have them, but he still looks at them. And what's the point? Right. So, to develop that immunity is extremely important. But a lot of people will tell you that they do dhikr. They are doing dhikr. They are, mashallah, they are reading Quran every day. They are reading tasbih, takbir, tahmeed, salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they still, it may have diminished slightly. They feel a better sense of connection with Allah, alhamdulillah. That will definitely happen. But they still feel prone to these things. They still feel vulnerable. They still can't keep it away. See, by that time, it's probably an addiction. An addiction is not so easily just removed by doing some dhikr. It needs a much more prolonged. One of the most effective things is to be, number one, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fasting. Fasting helps a lot. But one thing that you have to realize with fasting is that fasting is helps a lot to curb the sexual frustration, as the Prophet ﷺ said, because what it does is that it moderates your body. And there's a big reason why fasting is beneficial. Initially, when you start fasting, it seems like a lot of people say that they actually get more heated up. So that's why a lot of people in Ramadan, they have a bit of a challenge in the first week at least. Just because you start fasting doesn't mean you get all dampened. There is I'm not being so graphic, but you can understand what I'm speaking about. I'm not being very graphic. But eventually, fasting is supposed to moderate you. It's supposed to put everything back into its equilibrium because you're not eating. A lot of the desire that we get comes from what we eat. Right? That's undeniable that it comes from what we eat. A lot of the desire that we get built up, it comes from what we eat. And of course, we've got the external. The industry is like this. The society has become like that. And people have just been taking advantage of it. It's an impossibility to be in that society and be totally protected. It's so difficult. In fact, I won't call it an impossibility, because Allah can protect whoever He wills. So one is the dhikr. The second most effective thing that helps in this case to develop that immunity is for somebody you can get a reminder from. So it is to have good company, right? The good company of a sheikh, the good company of good friends. This is an additional thing, but that also just helps to create the immunity. Now, as I said, there's people who are in this situation who are doing these two things to a certain level, but they're still vulnerable. And this is where many of us miss the actual miss a very important problem here. And what it is that we are working on ourselves spiritually, but we are physical beings. We are physiological beings. Diet plays a big part and big role in this. So I've spoken to a few people. Who've used these things themselves. I believe there was one person who said that he was extremely sexually promiscuous until the age of, I can't remember his exact age, but was it age of 20? And then for 7 years he just stayed away from everything until he got married. I can't remember the exact ages, but it was this long period where he stayed away completely after pretty much doing everything and anything. That's what he mentioned clearly to me, right? And then after that, he got married, alhamdulillah. But he suggested, and then I've heard this suggestion from others, and then there's some things that I found online that speak about it from a non-religious perspective, just purely from a physiological and spiritual perspective, that are very effective. And I think that this is what it is, because I've seen so many people come and say that we're doing our dhikr and so on, but we still can't muster that same energy to completely, you know, we don't have the strength to avoid still. What is the problem? So let's look over a few things. Firstly, I'll tell you what I found through these through online, which seemed to be, mashallah, correspond with and confirm what I've learnt otherwise, and I'll mention those things. First and foremost, what they're saying is that people on a spiritual journey may wish to control their sex drive. They're trying to be just, you know, politically correct. So you're talking about people on a spiritual journey might wish to control their sexual desire so that they can focus on less spiritual, worldly pursuits. Other individuals find their overactive sex drive is out of sync with their partner's sex drive, or if they have no partner, then a high sex drive might only result in frustration, right? This is a genuine problem. There are a lot of Muslims out there, obviously, this will affect everybody, that their partner is not up to how much they want. And then that causes massive sexual frustration. Due to that, it actually causes a lot of marital problems. And then there's no communication, right? And it could either be that they've got an extremely overly sexual drive, or the other person just has an extremely low sexual drive. I know we're being very open today, but this is an important discussion to have, because it affects spirituality probably more than so many other things today. So many other things. Marriages are breaking up, and a lot of the time there's frustration at the bottom of it, right? And behind it. He says, you can control your libido with some simple lifestyle changes. And a high sex drive is not necessarily a bad impulse if you can find a way to make it work in your life. And this is said in a very secular format, right? Secular context. But again, if you do have a nice, decent, suitable spouse, then alhamdulillah. There's nothing wrong with a good sexual drive. That it's a good thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you've got the right intention, right motive, and so on. Their first suggestion is to talk to your doctor if you've got an extremely high sex drive. For most people, I don't think it's a very high sex drive. I think it's just an addiction. Right? Doctors aren't going to be able to help you with a sex addiction to looking at things. Right? Especially if you don't have an outlet. If you don't have a spouse, then what's the doctor going to give you? Right? Sexual suppressants. I mean, you maybe need anti-Viagra. But I don't know if there's such a thing that is anti-Viagra. I mean, there's Viagra, but I don't know if there's anti-Viagra. Like the opposite of it. So first he talks, of course, if somebody has an overly hyper sex drive, then maybe in that case they can speak to a doctor. Because there are medications that reduce your libido, right? But I don't know if you want to go in that direction. That's all chemical stuff possibly, that we don't want to have to deal with that, because we just want to deal with it in another way, inshallah. I mean, you've got these hunger suppressants and all of these other suppressants of all these other things, but unless they're natural, you don't want to really go into that. The next thing that they talk about here is that consider your reasons for wanting to lower your sex drive. If you want to control your libido for religious reasons, says talk to your spiritual advisor. So they're talking, talk to your sheikh. Right? So they're even suggesting that. Don't be embarrassed because he has likely dealt with this issue before. And I guarantee you that's a massive problem. So they probably have dealt with it. Right? Any sheikh you go to, you've probably dealt with it. Number three is avoid sexual... Now it's getting to the real stuff. Avoid sexual stimulation. This is extremely important. Sexual stimulation is where the problem is. Do not view pornography or read explicit books. In fact, I'm going to go lower than that. A lot of people who are addicted to pornography, and it's like any other addiction, they say, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever the case is. If you've stayed away for a while, even several months or a year or something, when you then see anything that's similar to that, even on a lower level, it's not pure pornography, right, in the modern sense of pornography as such, right? I don't know where the barrier is currently, right? But anything that you see that is a bit revealing is going to then give you flashbacks. It's just the way the brain works and the shaitan works with it. So then you want more because that's not enough. You've been used to a lot more than that. In pornography, you've been used to a lot more than that, you know, maybe years ago or months ago. And then suddenly you see, you've been away for a while, and then suddenly you see something, whether on outside or on a picture, in a picture, online, on TV, whatever. You just need to avoid all of that. Don't say, I'm only going to do this much. Because if pornography has been the problem, then people will probably generally say that, oh, I can allow myself to see things that are explicit, but not pornography. Because at least it's better than pornography. But that is the slippery step. That is the khutuwat is shaitan. That is basically the steps that it will take you, because they will never suffice. If you're in your mind, we've got space for something much more intense, then something less intense is not going to do it for us. It's just going to push us to eventually get there. You're going to do a bit until it gets to that point. So that's why they're saying pay attention to your thoughts to see whether there are specific objects, settings, or people that evoke this sexual response in you, and then avoid them as much as possible. Then they say something else, and there were three suggestions that that individual told me, who said he was very sexually active for a long time and then he stayed. Number one, I'll just mention it because he's going to mention some of these points here. This article is going to mention something similar. What he said is, number one, avoid meats. I've heard this from numerous people, and I can guarantee you that this will have a benefit. Avoid meats, especially red meats, and even chicken as far as possible. That's going to be very difficult for most people because most of the diet consists of that. But it's not impossible. In our home, as I said, we've had meat in the last 2 weeks. We've had some qurbani beef that was given to us, which we finally pulled out. It was the last of the meat we had in the freezer. We had that about a week ago. And I think before that, there were some chicken nuggets, some chicken pieces, some chicken breast that we had. That was the end of our meat. In 2 weeks, that's all we've had in terms of meat, right? Just those two bits, that's all we've had. Other than that, alhamdulillah, we've had good food, right? So it's a possibility that this, it really, really helps to manage the sex drive. That's not what we're doing it for, right? You know, that's not why we are doing it. We're doing it for other reasons, because meat is just generally not... the Prophet ﷺ ate it when he had it, and he ate it well when he had it, but for most of the time he didn't have it, and he didn't eat it. And Umar radiallahu anhu mentions in the Mu'atta Imam Malik, the hadith, that it has an addiction. But meat, the reason why meat is a problem, right, what is the so-called science behind it, is that it increases testosterone, which is, men need testosterone. You can't do without it, you need some. But if you have an imbalance in the estrogen and the testosterone, then you can have some massive, massive problems. Women need a certain balance, men need another balance. Otherwise, men can start producing breasts if they have the opposite balance. So you need a balance, and you don't need excess, and you don't need it to be too short. Meat, having too much meat, and if you look at the world, the industry, right? The way we're talking about the ocean, there's hardly any fish left now. In the shallower waters where they used to generally fish. So these trawlers are going into the deep now, and they're fishing from there. They're literally just killing, they're destroying the marine life to such a degree that I don't know if they can be replaced. There are so many types of fish that they're saying that they are really, if they're not extinct yet, they're on the verge of extinction, right? Just to be able to go and find fish whenever you want, whichever one you want. Sounds like a very good thing to do, but it's not sustainable. And they're seeing the harms of that. You were never meant to have that. We were never meant to be having meat every day and fish every day, or fish and meat every day. You know, the way people are doing today, especially when you got the money, right, to do these things. These are unnatural to do. They are natural products, but it's unnatural for us to consume them the way we do. So meat has a massive impact. So cut down on it. Go to white meats if you have to, right? Start with that first, but otherwise really cut down on that. The second thing that he mentioned is cut down sugars. Sugar is a massive stimulant, right? Just generally, especially the refined sugars that we're having, which is pretty much in everything today. So cut down on your sugars. If somebody seriously wants to do this, they'll have to do this kind of thing and see what benefit it gives them. Cut down on your sugars, cut down on your meat. Number three, you need to release your physical pent-up strength. That needs to be released. So find a martial arts, find an exercise, find whether that be some kind of halal yoga, or whether that can be some kind of jujitsu, some other martial arts, running, whatever. There has to be an activity that you do. Because without that activity, all the energy that you have built up with the foods that we eat, and just the natural reaction in our bodies, if we don't release it somehow, then it wants to release it through sexual activity. For some people, their only physical activity, aside from walking, is sexual activity. Right? It's not good enough. And when you can't have sexual activity because you don't have a spouse, or your spouse isn't around, or whatever the case is, right? Then you need another outlet to release your physical energy. So can you see these are very hard, and these are some very solid, you know, practical ideas. So just that's why the person was saying, I do my tawbah, I do my dhikr, but it doesn't have an effect. It's going to have a bit of an effect, but you're allowing other stimulants to come within you. What else did he say? So he said, yes, no meat, cut down on meat, cut down on sugar, and have a physical exercise. That's what he said, basically. Then, if I go back to this now, it's step number four was engaging your body in sports. It says exercise and yoga, keep your body busy and active so that you don't feel physically frustrated. Physical frustration is bad because then it comes up with all of these various different problems. Number five says, do not masturbate. Don't masturbate. Don't think that will release your sexual energy. It may do for that moment, but then it becomes a habit. You'll want it again. Then you just have to keep wanting it, and that's haram. It's wrong to do. So you can't respond to something with a haram because then you just want to do it again afterwards. And then for a lot of people, when they masturbate, then they need stimulants for that. So then that adds a number of other problems. So try to get yourself under control without having to resort to these things. If you find yourself becoming aroused, it says, think of non-sexual images. I don't know what that's going to do for people, but like, what do you think of? It's just don't even go there. It's just always have this meditation in mind that, look, this is a test from Allah. And inna ma'al usri yusra. That with every difficulty comes ease. So I'm having to go through a difficult period. When I get married, khalas, you know, inshallah, that will be much more pleasurable. Think of sabr and patience. That Allah gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a lot of promises for people who make sabr and who are patient. In fact, some of the highest rewards are for people with patience. This is a source of patience because it's physical patience that you have to endure from committing something haram. And even if you don't feel like committing haram, but you feel like, why can't I get married? Well, there must be reasons why you can't get married, right? Go and figure out those reasons why you can't get married. If you genuinely can't get married, well, even sabr, in that case, is still going to help you. And inshallah, the fruits of it will be wonderful once you do get married. And then it says, pursue non-sexual relationship with people, right? Meaning, don't be around people that are generally talking about this stuff. I mean, from what I hear on certain groups, not necessarily Muslims, but others, I mean, because it was on the talk show the other day, just speaking about the whole point is about flaunting who you're dating. So he says that the guy was saying that when I was 17, I used to do this as well, which is that if I've hooked up with a really nice looking girl, then I'll take her picture and say, look what I've got. So it's just a commodity they were doing. You know, they just had a commodity that they were flaunting. And this is the kind of things that would be passed around on an all-male group. Men do these crazy things, right? So don't do that. Don't be with such people who are constantly talking about sex, who are constantly talking about members of the opposite gender, who are constantly talking about these kind of haram things, because they're not very helpful, and you can imagine it's not very helpful at all. Number seven, it says, abstain from alcohol and drugs, especially if you feel that they lower your inhibitions and cause you to do something you may regret later. That's speaking on a very mainstream level, right? I'm talking about people who are not into alcohol or drugs, right? But they're still finding difficulty. So the other thing is you have to keep busy, right? So I would say out of those main three things, cut down on the meat, cut down on the sugar, increase an exercise, add an exercise. And number four, get an activity that you're busy in. Something that you can pursue, something that you enjoy doing, whether that be, you know, some extracurricular work necessarily, or if you enjoy your work, start a business. You know, do a business if you want to. Sell things online. Keep yourself busy, right? Go and help out, volunteer, right? That gives you satisfaction. It'll help with the frustration. You have to stay busy. You have to have no time for anything else. That's when it helps, so that your mind doesn't wander, then you find other outlets for these things. So, as I said, these things are not simple. They're not as simple as just making tawbah. Tawbah is very helpful in releasing all the past sins. That's what it's for. But the future, if you're still going to allow things to come into our life which stimulate us in the wrong way, and we don't break down those stimulations, then we're going to be back to square one very soon. So, holistically speaking, there are then three things. If we take all of these physical recommendations that I mentioned, which is to avoid your sugars and your meats and do an exercise, they would be considered to be your practical and dietary measures that you need to take. Then number two, we must make tawbah. And number three is to do dhikr, because that's what's going to get the heart strong. And what really helps to drive all of these things is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the love of Allah and ideas in mind, like, I want to stay a pure person. If you don't think this is wrong to start with, then you're never going to succeed in this, because you say, what's the problem with it? They'll tell you a little bit of masturbation, what's wrong with it? A little bit of pornography is fine. There's a lot of people who propose that idea. You can't listen to that, because a little bit ends up being a lot anyway, and even a little bit is haram to start with. So it's extremely important to have the spiritual aspect, which will build the heart, and eventually, inshallah, we will be able to avoid the gaze. So you're walking through, you're going to the masjid, you're going to university, you're going to work, you're walking through, there's going to be so many things you will see. Have respect for these individuals, even if they don't have respect for themselves because of the way they're dressed. Right? They may not have respect for themselves. Doesn't mean that we don't respect people. We respect them because they're human beings, and we want to work within the parameters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed down for us, which is for everybody's benefit. And those parameters are that we respect individuals by not looking at what we're not supposed to look at, unless it's done through license, which is through a marriage. That's what we allowed. Any kind of sexual look at anything, sexual encounter with anything, has to be done within the Sharia, because that is what makes it helpful. That's why, if we're to quickly reflect over the problems that we've seen currently in the media with all of these accusations of sexual harassment and so on, and that some of them must be right, if not all of them, they must be right, right? Because you just can't have so many people. How would you prove that somebody sexually harassed you 20 years ago, when you've got no footage, you've got no nobody who's witnessed it? How do you prove that? The way they prove it nowadays is that the second person comes along, and the third person comes along, and the fourth person comes along, and you look and you say that, hey, these guys aren't friends, they've never met each other, they could never have agreed to do this. So literally what they're doing is they're using what we call tawatur, right, in Islam, which was called tawatur, that way you get to such a level of contiguous transmission and report that you look and you investigate and you find this could not have been a conspiracy, right? There must be something about this, That, I'm assuming that that's basically where the proof of this comes from. But either way, whatever the case is, if you look in the, if you look in the industry, if there are three things that Islam tells us to do, right? One is from the Hadith and two are from the Quran, then we would minimize a lot of these problems. There's always going to be problems because humans have failings. Women have failings and men have failings. The failing of men, right, males, is that they can't control themselves. They can easily lose their control when it comes to the opposite gender. It's just a natural thing within them. That's why you need measures in place, because the default is something else, and studies will show you that. Studies show they hooked up several guys, in a study. They hooked their minds up, you know, their brains up, and then they showed them pictures of beautiful women, or beautiful and not so beautiful, and, you know, various different types of women, and they saw how the brain just sparks up, whether you like it or not. It's just a natural reaction in men, right? And somewhat in women like that. Women have another issue that they want to reveal themselves, right? Even if it's cold outside, they want to reveal themselves. It's just another problem that women have. It's something that happens. You have to take these things into consideration. So, number one, the Hadith says that when there's two people in a room, a man and a woman in a room alone, the third one is going to be shaitan. You need to avoid that. Now, I know in our modern lifestyles, it's difficult to do that sometimes. But to be very frank, I mean, you can make up an excuse, I'm claustrophobic, please leave the door slightly ajar, right? If there's a room with a window, it's better to use that people can actually look in. So, you know, it's just to try to cut down on that while keeping the practicalities into consideration if you can't avoid them completely. That's number one. Number two, Allah says in the Quran that قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ and قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Just don't look. Lower your gaze, right? If you look first, don't let your eyes be so sticky that they continue to look, but be able to look away, look down. So that's another thing. But no, the whole movie industry, which is a massively corrupt industry from ground, you know, from the actual foundations, and these things were inevitable. They've been going on for years. That's why everybody's saying that everybody knows about it. But nobody just spoke about it because people are too powerful. These are just a mix of a number of factors here that's just kept this underground. But it's that same industry that tells women to dress in a particular way, and then they feel that that is their freedom. That's why you've never heard in this discussion here, have you ever heard in this entire discussion that's been going on for the last month or two, or 2 months or 3 months or whatever it is, that they've never, never mentioned that women should dress modestly. No, women should have the right to dress as they want, but men should just be able to control themselves, right? And that's why there's a very good article I read somewhere which said, which was probably the only one that I read that actually said, we keep blaming the men, but when it comes to the women, they want to dress up very attractively, and if the wrong guy hits on them, that's when they get angry. And if it's the right guy, then it's not a problem. If it's somebody like Weinstein, then yeah, they've got a problem with that. But if it's anybody else that they would like, then that is a fulfillment of why they dress the way they do. I'm not saying all women dress like that for that reason. Some just do it because that's the trend of the time and they feel out of place to do it otherwise. There are many motivations, so I don't want to judge any woman's motivation. But there's definitely their dress to kill, right? Dress to kill spiritually, absolutely, right? And then it was a woman who was writing this, and she said, you know, we keep saying that it's men, and yes, it is men. I would agree it's men. Men have a problem, there's no doubt about it, but it's women as well. It just depends on who's attacking them or who's giving them too much attention. Then if it goes the right way, then it's fine for them. If it goes the wrong way, then they complain. Right. So that's number two. And number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about يا بني آدم قد أنزلنا عليكم لباسا يواري سوآتكم وريشا ولباس التقوى ذلك خير ذلك من آيات الله لعلهم يذكرون. Which is, O Bani Adam, O children of Adam, we have given you clothing so that you can cover your nakedness. Whole point of clothing was to cover your nakedness. But then Allah says that, yeah, that's physical clothing you will cover your nakedness with, but you need the inner drive. Remember the inner drive that I was speaking about, the strong heart, the strong iman? وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَٰرِكَ خَيْرٍ. It's really the libas of taqwa. That is the superior form of libas. It doesn't mean that you shed your outer libas and you become denuded and say you've got taqwa, because taqwa assumes that you're going to cover up outside. You're going to be modestly dressed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adama, what's after that? The next verse. لا يفتننكم الشيطان يا بني آدم لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة ينزع عنهما لباسهما ليريهما سوآتهما إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم إنا جعلنا الشياطين أولياء للذين لا يؤمنون. And then وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما. That, oh children of Adam, the shaitan should not mislead you. He should not mislead you and he should not cause you to become destroyed. I'm giving my own interpretation here. Just like he caused your forefather, your parents, Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, to come out of paradise. And he says, what does Allah say? أخرج أبويكم من الجنة ينزعوا عنهما لباسهما, by having their clothing removed from them. Because when they ate from where they were not supposed to, their clothing, they became denuded in a sense. Their clothing was removed. Clothing is very important. It has a very important aspect in Islam. And then he says, Shaitan sees you from where you don't see them. Shaitan can see you from where you do not see him. And إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And we have made the shaitans intimate friends with those who do not believe. We've made shaitan intimate friends with those who do not believe. And this is where the whole trend is coming from shaitan. And we have to deal with it. Right? I can't tell somebody who calls me, pack your bags and go somewhere else. Because there's fitna everywhere. It's on your phone if you want it. That's why the most important thing is to try to mitigate whatever you can. Like this brother, he says, at home I don't have internet. I've cut it down. I don't have internet at home. The second brother that I spoke to, I don't have internet at home. I said, what about on your phone? He says, no, I've blocked it. You can tell that he's frustrated, he's got problems, and he's taken measures, but he still feels the need. So, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ قَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. It's not easy. It's a challenge for everybody, right? But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. And hopefully this has been useful for us to see what we indulge in too much, to try to cut down on those things. And there's a lot of benefit in doing this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And may Allah allow us to go to Him pure. When we leave this world finally, that we've been able to spend time in this world, we've been able to deal with our frustrations, use them in the rightful manner and not in the wrongful manner. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us purity and chastity. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.
Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك, واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. والله, we ask you for your mercy, your blessing, your protection. Oh Allah, we ask you for your guidance. Oh Allah, we ask you for purity. Oh Allah, we ask you for your love. Oh Allah, we ask you for good company. Oh Allah, we ask that you grant us the ability to stand up in the middle of the night and pray to you. We ask that whenever you want us to be praying to you, oh Allah, that we ask you for the energy and the strength to do that. Oh Allah, we ask that you grant us the ability to be where you want us to be and to stay away from where you do not want us to be. Oh Allah, assist us and help us. Oh Allah, everybody here, this is their desire. Oh Allah, but we have failings, we have weaknesses, we have shortcomings. Oh Allah, we have weaknesses, we have shortcomings, we have challenges. Oh Allah, we have temptations. Oh Allah, you've put us wherever you've put us for a particular reason. Oh Allah, allow us to take the best of it. Oh Allah, allow us to realize the best of it. Oh Allah, allow us to realize whatever we can that is beneficial for us in terms of this world and the hereafter. Oh Allah, bless us in what you have given us. But oh Allah, protect us from the evil of what's around us. And oh Allah, protect us from
Protect us from that evil. O Allah, grant us yaqeen in our hearts. Grant us strength in our hearts. Grant us conviction in our hearts. O Allah, make us immune. O Allah, grant us and remove the vulnerability. O Allah, grant us protection from seeing and hearing and touching and saying that which is displeasing to you. O Allah, allow us only to say those things that are pleasing to you. O Allah, allow us to only be part of pursuits which are permissible and blessed. O Allah, choose for us. O Allah, and choose the best for us. O Allah, guide us. O Allah, guide us. O Allah, protect us. Protect our progeny until the day of judgment. O Allah, make us role models of the guided ones. Make us imams of the guided ones. O Allah, make us imams of the guided ones. Make us force for good change. O Allah, accept every one of us here for the service of your deen. O Allah, we ask that you protect us from all forms of disgrace and humiliation in this world and in the hereafter. O Allah, we ask that you grant us barakah and self-dignity. You grant us respect and chivalry. O Allah, you grant us courtesy. You grant us taqwa. You grant us purity. You grant us blessing. O Allah, that you make us of those who are considered to be forces for good. And O Allah, for those who are seem to be to have a positive outlook and those who are able to assist and help others. O Allah, we ask that you forgive us whatever wrongs that we have done and make all of the remaining part of our life a blessed situation. Make the best time of our life the last moments of our life, and make the best day of our existence the day that we stand in front of you. O Allah, we ask you for acceptance. We ask you for relief of problems from all of our Muslim brothers and sisters around the world and from all humanity. And we ask that you bring back humanity to the insan, insaniya to the insan. O Allah, we ask that you send your abundant blessings on our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you allow us to take him as our role model and to emulate him, and grant us his company in the hereafter. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.